On this Laetare Sunday, we priests can wear our rose-colored vestment, which I'm donning today. I don't particularly like this vestment, but it's the only rose vestment I have. And our sacristan, Dan D'Agostino, told me before the first Mass this morning that this vestment and my wearing it reminds him that I'm like a large piece of saltwater taffy. I hope Dan wants to be ordained a deacon. There is a very haunting line in today's gospel. We ought to take note of it. Jesus says, "Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." We might ask ourselves, since this word belief is so prevalent in today's gospel passage from John chapter 3, what does belief mean in the biblical sense of the word? Well, we can say that it does not mean simply an intellectual assent of the mind, a nod of the head in response to some proposition. For example, you may believe that the sun will rise tomorrow. You may believe that your team will advance to the Sweet 16 today. Those are not really profound forms of belief. They're rather, in a certain sense, reducing and cheapening the word, especially in the biblical sense. In the biblical sense, the word belief doesn't just mean simply faith, an intellectual assent to the mind, but it actually involves both faith and works, believing and doing. Not faith or works, but both. St. Therese reminds us that our good works are signs that our faith is actually producing fruit. And we read in the letter of St. James that faith without works is dead. It's important to have both at work simultaneously. I grew up in a trilingual home. I had to navigate as a child through English, Filipino, and Spanish. When I was in preschool, it was thought that I had a very severe speech impediment because I was speaking all three languages simultaneously in class, and the teachers had no idea what I was saying at times. So they were going to hold me back for 2 years until I overcame the speech impediment. So let's take the word faith, for example. The Spanish word for faith is very simple. It's one syllable. It's fe. That's the name of the city in New Mexico, Santa Fe, Holy Faith. The Filipino word, though, for faith is polysyllabic. I'll say it twice, in case you don't speak Filipino. It's pananampalataya. Pananampalataya. Try saying that five times fast when you're three. But the word is very descriptive because what it means is that the person who is the believer is not someone who simply just claims Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. That would seem too easy. But rather, the person who's rooted in this kind of faith, pananampalataya, means someone who invests their whole life in the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who died for our sins and rose from the dead. And it is that conviction that informs every other aspect of his life. It is much more than a simple intellectual assent of the mind, a nod of faith. We might say it's the faith and belief that the martyrs had. Not willing to simply say, yes, I believe in Christ and I love him, but actually willing to die for that conviction. It is a complete investment of the self. So the idea would be simply this. There is a tremendous temptation in our lives to just fit God in where we can. Because after all, our real work The real business that we're about is something else. And most of them, hopefully, are good. Marriage, family, work, school. That covers most of us. And so the idea becomes that we just try to fit God in wherever we can. But someone who's really a believer, truly a believer, does not just fit God in. Rather, it is this relationship with the Lord Jesus that actually informs and colors and gives form and texture to the aforementioned. Work, marriage, parenting, recreation, and school. So everything that one does is rooted back to one's belief, faith and works, a total investment of self in Jesus Christ. If you're reading the words very carefully that I mentioned at the beginning of my homily, whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned. The words are scary. They should be troubling. And if they are, in a way, that's good, because the words are intended to move us to repentance, understanding that this is the bar that our Lord has set as the standard for conversion and eventually salvation. We are really talking about a complete investment of the whole self. Lent is a time to root out those areas and to examine honestly where Christ still does not reign supreme, where he's just fit in the back door or as a side dish as opposed to the main course. So let us pray for this type of belief, pananamparataya, that our Lord will look kindly upon us as we place all of our faith, all of our works, all of our trust, and all of our love in him. O Mary, conceived without sin,